Hi, this is Adrian from GearYourGirl.com with yet another Gear Your Girl official podcast. And today I've got a really cool guest. You may have heard him before, and we were talking about pine pollen and various other cool herbs that he sells over at Superman Herbs. But we're going to talk today about stress management and some things called adaptogens, which I'm a huge fan of, but one in particular, which we just had a funny discussion about pronunciation. And you probably heard Logan back there snickering because, there's always these words that we read and we don't necessarily say or that come up in, they don't come up in conversation. And just before I hit record, I was like, all right, so how do you say this? It used to be called Siberian ginseng, and it's an herb that I've used for many years, just as adaptogen to help with my wacky lifestyle. And I do think it has some athletic benefits as well, which I'm sure Logan can fill us in on. But I wasn't sure how to say the true and proper legal name of it, since it's not a true ginseng. We can't call it Siberian ginseng,
Yeah,
so
that's actually FDA. I believe it was regulations, like you're not
yeah.
allowed to call it Siberian ginseng anymore.
Right. And so then it's like, that's great, FDA. Can you tell us how to say this word instead?
It's kind of like Prince. It's the root formerly known as Siberian ginseng.
Right. And we decided collectively, or rather, I asked you, how are you saying this? And I had to write it down. Eleuthero, is what we're talking about, if you hadn't already figured that out.
And it might be Eleutheros. I think I've heard some people pronounce it like that, but it's one of those words, you can pronounce it multiple ways, and I think that's fine. It was
Right.
Mark Twain that said this was more in regards to spelling, but the man that can only spell a word one way is, not very smart or something like that. So
Yes.
I think that goes for pronunciation as well.
Yes. And neither Logan nor I will laugh at you, however you wish to pronounce. And I have to look down at the card. Eleuthero. We'll know what you mean. So anyway, I very much have enjoyed taking Eleuthero, and I think it helps me manage the large amounts of stress I mostly heap upon myself as a small business owner who doesn't like to sleep. So, but what are some of the more, I guess, sane benefits of Eleuthero, and why have you decided to include it in your arsenal of fun over there?
Right. Well, before we talk specifically about Eleuthero, I think it's important to talk about what are known as adaptogens. Adaptogens are a class of herbs that basically, the simple thing is they help your body better adapt to whatever you're doing, mostly different forms of stress. The term adaptogen came from a Russian guy named Dr. Lazarev back in 1947, and his official definition of it was adaptogens are non-specific remedies that increase resistance to a broad spectrum of harmful factors or stressors of different physical, chemical, and biological natures. So basically, adaptogens just make you better at adapting. That's really what they do. And since, we have all these things going on, whether from training or stress from business, lack of sleep, your body's better able to handle those stressors. That's really why adaptogens are so awesome. They just help you adapt.
Cool. And some of us really need all the help we can get in that
Yeah.
Cool. That was a great definition of adaptogens, and I'm very glad that doctor had an easy to pronounce last name. There's one less thing to stress about already. So, right? Okay. So, we were talking earlier, again before the call. I was looking through what you have, and Logan is super cool and he's always into neat stuff. I'm like, okay, well, what is it that I already am taking that when I run out of, I can just get from Logan instead? And one of those things was Eleuthero, and then I was like, oh, he's got it in powders and not capsules. I'm used to capsules. What am I going to do here? And you had mentioned that there's actually more benefit in powders, and I guess why are you dispensing them as a powder instead? What makes that
Well,
better?
I mean, the real reasons once we get started in this, like we didn't have an easy way to capsulize things, so that's the real reason. But since that time, there's actually a few other reasons. So one of the things is really with herbs, unless it's an extremely concentrated form of them, you're gonna need a fair amount of it. So it's gonna take. I mean, if you're really only taking one or two capsules of something, chances are, once again, it depends on the sort of dosage, you know, how concentrated is that, but you're not actually getting enough of the herb. It takes quite a few capsules to really get a lot of the herb in your body. So, you know, some people don't like swallowing a whole bunch of capsules, so that'd be one reason for it. But really, what I see is the main reason that we have powdered herbs. Also, we're going to have more tinctures soon, including this as a tincture, I do believe. You get to taste the herb. Now, taste is very important in our sort of Western society. You know, the only things we like the taste of are sweet and salty, right? But if you if you go back to Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine, the taste really clues you in to the effects of the herb. Different tastes correspond to the different elements in Chinese meridian as well as the meridians, but also the different effects, the different medicinal effects the herb is going to do. So when you actually put that taste on your tongue, it's actually cluing in your body to what this herb is supposed to be doing in the body. If you just swallow down capsules, you're not tasting anything, and then the body has to be like, okay, now what is this? I actually heard from someone there are some taste receptors within the stomach or somewhere along the digestive tract, so it may be happening there, but really the first part of our digestion and what's going to clue this herb on what sort of action to do begins with the taste of it.
That is interesting. Now, I'd not heard that about taste receptors in the stomach, but that is interesting. Almost like a mental preparation on a cellular level, where if it's happening, actually in the mouth.
And but it's interesting as you look at these models that we have, rather than like, okay, Eleuthero has eleutherosides, and these are the active components that do X, Y, and Z. But okay, it tastes like this, so it's going to have certain effects within the body because those tastes basically and those effects are kind of governed in the same sort of way. And this is behind every system of herbalism besides sort of our Western physiological and looking at the component place in it where taste doesn't really matter.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about that. So, what does Eleuthero, I had to look at the card, taste like to you, typically, or if it's easy enough to describe?
This is a interesting one because one thing that's gonna either can bring out the taste more or sort of downplay it depends on how it's prepared. So if you're just chewing on a raw root, which that's the root of this plant that's used, then that's going to give one thing versus an extract maybe a little bit different. And tincture the same sort of thing, though generally there will be some sort of similarity between these different things. Now, Eleuthero, it's funny that we're not. This isn't one I've experimented with as much as some of the others. So now you have, I like want to go to my drawer, find some of this, and taste it right now so I could give you some
Do
more information. Well, I'd have to disconnect for a little while because it's in the other room.
Well, that's not, well, next time we'll do like some kind of
Next time.
live tasting, and then you can send over little pictures of your face,
Yeah.
to give us a better idea, like especially if something's sour or weird or something.
Yeah. Based on its actions, it's probably going to have definitely some bitter components. I mean, many plants definitely do that, and that's why that's one of the reasons they're put in capsules because people don't like the taste. Because we don't eat bitter things, so we lose the taste for it, and then it tastes bad to us. But that's a whole other subject. So there's definitely going to be that component to it. I would also say just thinking about it, probably has some of the saltiness as well, though definitely not overpowering. Overall, I'd say it's not one of the stronger tasting herbs compared to some of the other ones that we have available. There's some ones that are very potent, but it does definitely have that bitter component to it.
That's interesting. Now, of the adaptogens, which do you think has probably the most pronounced flavor?
Well, it depends on which herbs you include into the category of adaptogen. There's like some main ones that have been studied and are definitely in there. These include things like ginseng, you know, the regular ginseng, as well as rhodiola, cordyceps mushrooms, and then there's definitely other, and many of them have different sort of adaptogenic properties. So it kind of depends on that. Just thinking about it here, ginseng's an interesting one. It does have a very distinctive taste to it. It's kind of sharp. You might even describe that as pungent, being one of the tastes to that, but it has a sweetness to it as well. So yeah, off the top of my mind, it's hard to say exactly. I like Schizandra, which is very unique. It's called the five-flavor fruit because it has all five flavors: sweet, salty, bitter, pungent, and sour as well. Although it's mostly sour if you get in that fresh form, as well as astringent, which is sometimes described as a taste, sometimes more as of a mouthfeel. But because it has all five of these flavors, that means it's doing all these different things within the body. That's why it's one of the major herbs in Chinese medicine.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, well, going back a little bit, just a little bit, we were talking about powder versus capsule. I was like, well, so if I'm going to make that switch, you know, how am I going to, how am I going to ingest this stuff now? And you'd mentioned that it works well in smoothies or shakes, but, you know, we want to do to save all that for the call. So, what do I
So
do?
yeah, one of the yeah, that's the easiest way. I mean, many people that are, you know, would otherwise be taking herbs are likely doing some sort of shake or like post-workout, pre-workout, different things of this nature. So if you're blending anything, then just throw a spoonful of the herb in there, and often that's the simplest way to take it. And once again, depending on the herb, some of them go better, some of the flavors get masked better with certain things than others. We have other herbs like Tongkat Ali, which is the most bitter tasting herb I've ever had. Like it will ruin the taste of a lot of things. So it depends a bit on the herb. With Eleuthero, that's an easy enough one. You could throw it in any sort of smoothie and it should work fine with that. Even simpler way to take them, usually just mix a spoonful in water and then just drink that down. Yep.
Chug-a-lug. Cool. Yeah, because I have this one really kind of neat mix of it's like adaptogens and superfoods, and it's in a powder, and there's just so many different little things in it that you can mix it into either a drink, or I mix it into Greek yogurt in the morning, just like straight up organic whole Greek yogurt, and it makes this odd sludgy looking but you know kind of good tasting in a grass clippings kind of way snack, you know. So that's very interesting, huh? So what are you working on right now, just like in your training and in your life?
My training right now is dedicated toward one specific goal that I call the beast snatch test.
Oh
As
gosh.
you know, the beast is the 48-kilogram or 106-pound kettlebell,
Yes.
and my goal is to snatch it 100 times in 10 minutes. I'm closing in on the goal. I just did 80 in 10 minutes the other day, which was it's a particularly brutal combination of strength and endurance. I've done a lot with the snatch over the years, but I just had this idea. Ooh, 100, that'd be a good goal to shoot for, and I wish I never had that idea. But I'm closing in on it, so I'm going full force into working on this until I complete it.
Wow, you did that to yourself, Logan. Like,
Yeah, I bring horrible things upon myself for some reason. I think, oh, that'll be fun. Little did I know.
yeah, this word fun, like, maybe you should revisit. I mean, you described adaptogens so well and so accurately, and yet fun, I don't know. I don't know. No, I get it.
Yeah, it's really more for the achievement than the fun, I'd say.
Yes.
Along with that, I'm actually going to be doing my first kettlebell competition in a
Oh,
little over a month, so
that's exciting.
that goes right along with that. I won't be using the beast in the snatch portion of that, though. I'll be going with something lighter.
They'll be like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So is that
That
what's that?
might be a good time to do it, though. You know, when your competition generally perform a little better, so I could probably complete the test then. But just to be able to win, I'll work with something lighter. Because it's a, I don't know if you've heard of this, the Bolt competitions. They make them a little more user-friendly than sort of the standard kettlebell competitions out there. You can use different weights, and the scoring's basically weight times reps, as well as having more events than just the jerk and the snatch.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what events are you competing in?
So I'll be doing the snatch for sure, then also the double snatch. I really, as much as I love the snatch, I don't like the jerk. The double jerk, just that position, I'm like 1 inch away from my elbows being able to rest on my hips in that, and it just it's horrible. So I might do the single jerk because I can do that one just fine. But yeah, the double jerk, I don't like that
You know,
move.
that's important to realize. Like, really, I mean, every move is not always ideal for every human body out there. And, you know, while it's always important for us to challenge ourselves, and in training, we do a lot of stuff that, you know, isn't really our favorite thing to do. But at the same time, you know, physiologically, if something's just not a good match, then there's so many alternatives out there.
Yeah,
You know, so
absolutely.
such an important thing to do. Cool. So now, when is that competition again?
That is July 11th, I believe.
Wow, that's coming up. That's exciting. Very cool. Now, is it the type of form used? It sounds like a little bit more GS or
Yeah, for the competition, generally, you're going to be going with that rather than the more hard style form just because you're going a bit longer. But really, I mean, it depends on what you're going for. So with the beast, what I've been doing is technically it's called a half snatch. This is once it's over. I don't really like the term because it didn't, I don't know. But anyway, once it's overhead, then you lower it to the shoulder, then go for the downswing. The reason I started doing this is because, well, it's a 106-pound kettlebell. That's over half my body weight. So when I'm doing something that's over 50% my body weight and doing it for high volume, I'm just trying to spare my back a bit more rather than swinging it down from the top. But as far as launching it, I've sort of always just adapted my style. It's not purely GS or not purely hard style, whatever those may mean, and sort of a combination that is tailored towards what I'm trying to do.
Well, that seems smart, especially when, again, when you're dealing with that amount of weight. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm a big fan of like, if I do double snatches, I'll snatch it up, but then I bring it down to the shoulder. I call
I
it
think
an
that's the best way to go with it, especially if you are doing higher reps.
I call it an unclean.
That's a good name. Yeah, I've been working on the double snatch too, just another thing I did recently, much lighter weight, but using two 16-kilogram kettlebells, and I did 150 of those in 10 minutes. That was a pretty tiring test.
Yeah, that'll make you ready for dinner for sure. That's amazing. Gosh.
After you lie on the ground for a little bit afterwards.
Right. Is it done yet? Is it done yet? That's cool. So what's new for Superman Herbs? I've noticed that, you know, the people who read my website have been checking you out and getting some good stuff for themselves, it seems. So what can
Yeah.
they look forward to?
We're one of the main things that I'm working on going towards is we sort of our main demographic has been men. At this point, especially older men, we do a lot around the hormones. I don't apply the same sort of thing to women because women have hormonal issues too. And actually, it's a lot. Women's hormones are about 10 times as complex as men. So we're working on putting more information out there as well as more herbs specifically tailored to women. That's kind of one of the big directions we're going in. Eventually, I mean, I have the domain registered, but we may have an official Superwoman Herbs as sort of a separate site. Right now, the name is Superman Herbs, and we're using man. Although, yeah, we tailor a little bit towards men so far. We're using it more in the sense of mankind, which includes everyone.
Oh, that's cool. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. And agreed, you know, it's interesting. There's, you know, human hormones are just really, they're really fascinating, just how much they control, like in terms of, gosh, even how we think.
Oh yeah,
And
they
it's,
do everything.
yeah. It's like fascinating and like more than just a little bit horrifying. You're just okay, everything keep doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, that's why, I mean, with the sort of Western view, we look down and dive deep into like individual molecules of things. We have testosterone, but you know, it's also about the sex hormone binding globulin, the dihydrotestosterone, DHEA, aromatase enzyme. You have 5-alpha reductase, and your mind can just explode going into all these details.
Right.
But that's why I like sort of the Chinese medicine philosophy, the Ayurveda. Really, from those, you're able to see more of a big picture, more of a holistic look at what's going on. That doesn't get you so lost in the details. And now details are good. Like, I love being able to look at specific numbers with blood testing and whatnot. But I think really being able to come from different approaches overall, I think you'll get better results with that. Because the truth is, as much as we know, there's a lot more we don't know. And I mean, you're in the health field, you've seen this, you know, things come into the light, and then, you know, 10 years later, oh, we were wrong about that. You should be doing this instead. So that's kind of something I've been seeing. So that's why I like going back to these ancient systems that have been around for thousands of years.
Well, and again, it's almost like the definition of adaptogen you gave early on. It wasn't so much a pinpoint definition or a pinpoint strategy, it was more of an all-encompassing general direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a it drives me nuts when there'll be some news story and the pause is there for you listening at home to fill in any special words that I won't say. Where someone is some journalist needing to get paid has created a story. A news story saying that such and such miracle, blah blah blah, and it's from a small study which is probably barely only statistically significant within its tiny confines of its study, saying that this one molecule from this one particular type of carrot helped mice live, 2 minutes longer. You know what I mean? And the headline is, of course, "Eat carrots, live forever." And it's like this reductionist. I don't even know if that's the right word at this point, but we're fed so much of this this type of information across, even what would be considered reputable news outlets, which I now doubt. but yeah, little wave there to my tinfoil hat listeners. I know you're out there. It's okay. But we're faced with so much information that's like that, which is, maybe or maybe not actually true or real, that it's good to see this general approach that and again has a history to it.
Right.
So that's cool.
Well, here's one of the things, because, you know, I look at the studies and have that's where some of this information comes from and everything. But you have to realize every person's individual. Like, some things work great for one person and not for another. So even among these studies, you know, they're looking for statistical significance, but that means it worked for some people, it didn't work for other people, right? You know, compared to a placebo. Once again, going back to these ancient systems, they all have ideas around constitutional types. In the Chinese medicine, you have the five different elements. In Ayurveda, you have the three doshas. And really, with these, this is how you tailor the right sort of herbs or the right sort of lifestyle, right sort of diet to people. That kind of bridges the gap between, oh, we're all humans, you know, in general, we all need to do these things, and, you know, we're all individual. You have to find what works for you. That's what's really missing in all of Western medicine. There's none of this middle area in between. So it's just like, okay, this either works or it doesn't, which, you know, that's true of everything. It both works and it doesn't. It depends on who you're working with.
Yes, no, that makes sense. Well, I was just talking to a friend of mine earlier today about like diet approaches, and it's like some people are doing great on an ovo-lacto diet, or even I've seen some people, not me, thrive on a vegan diet. And again, it's like everybody's different, and who are we to tell everybody what to do? I think that's an incredibly arrogant stance, because, like you said, it's no one thing seems to work with the complex chemistry of the individual human body.
Right. Except Eleuthero, that works for everyone. No, it's great. Even that, you know, try it out, see if it works for you. If that doesn't, you know, maybe some different adaptogens.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, yeah, a lot of people are going to benefit with that sort of thing. But even with that, you know, adaptogens as a whole class of herbs probably aren't for everyone. There is something, because your body gets better at handling stress, especially in our Western lifestyle, you know, lack of sleep, running several businesses, training really hard. Like, you can use them to sort of trigger your body to release more energy, which then you can use to burn yourself out faster.
Yeah.
So you do kind of be cautious along those lines. It really should be done in combination with a balanced lifestyle, whatever that may mean, to really get the best effects.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. And that is super important to consider. Now, I mean, I've read through this, but and I encourage everyone else to always really read up on anything before taking it. And, you know, of course, you know, mention it to your doctor, see if there's any sort of contraindications or interactions with anything that you may already be taking. But just as a general sweep, who are people that should avoid adaptogens in general, or Eleuthero? Eleuthero. Oh, see, I have to look at it in general.
So here's the thing with herbs. I mean, once again, because there's not as much money in these as there are in, you know, official medications, there's not as much done on them. So there seems to be some contraindications with, if you're taking blood pressure medication, it could throw that off, likely because Eleuthero is going to sort of balance it out while the drugs just go in one direction. But it could have other interactions with other drugs or medications. So not 100% there. So like I said, talk to your doctor. Not that they'll probably even know what this is, but that's what you got to do, right?
Right. You never know. There's a few that are starting to
This is true. I've had a few, you know, really knowledgeable and smart doctors on my podcast, and that's been a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we'll have to check. Now, what's the name of your podcast? Is it on iTunes?
It is. It's the Vital Way podcast. Okay. It can also be found, you know, links to it. We have it listed there on supermanherbs.com.
Awesome. I'm sure tons of people will be interested in checking that out after hearing this, because, you know, it sounds fun and they want to hear it. Everybody wants to hear what doctors have to say. I mean, you know, hey.
They went
to school for a long time. Now, you're also doing, I saw you had a coaching program, and I was curious to hear what that was about here real quick at the end.
Well, haven't actually got that out completely yet, still in the works on it, so keeping that under wraps for now.
All right. Well, yeah, I just saw that email, so I was like,
That was more to get people to raise their hands to see how many would be interested in that, among some other things.
Gotcha. Yeah, I sent out an email kind of similar to that, that idea, a few weeks ago. It's like, hey, so, like, if I made this thing, would you guys be into it? And, it's a good idea.
It's the best way to go, rather than just creating something and then finding no one cares. Because I've definitely been there before.
Oh, my God. Nature of the beast. Yeah, totally. Cool. Well, it's great. And also, I should mention, you know, Logan is going to be at Dragon Doris Health and Strength. I keep wanting to call it a workshop because everything's called a workshop, but it's actually a conference.
Yes.
And with all the Dragon Door authors, and he'll be up there talking about his book about mental strategies, which I've actually seen and really, really like. So
you've experienced them yourself.
I have. I love that. And you know what? I've been using that strategy ever since. And it really helps, especially in, you know, when you're having to kind of demonstrate a move. I hate to say this, but under duress, like, okay, someone's got a camera. We're taking pictures for a photo shoot. Like, I was in New York last weekend. It's like, I want to nail this. I want to look cool. I don't want to take up any more time than necessary on my move. Or if I'm, you know, demonstrating something for people, attendees at a workshop, you darn skippy, I want to get it right. So I always take a few seconds, even if it's just a few seconds, and I go through that, you know, picturing it method that you taught me, and I make sure that that mental image is of the highest definition possible. So thanks again for that. I mean, that was what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. It's really simple, yet it's outside of what most people are aware of what can be done, because everyone hears the word visualize, and some people may do it, but they don't realize how you visualize, just how important that is. So, yeah, that's covered in depth in the book, and I'm pretty sure I'll be covering that at the conference as well, in addition to some other very cool tips and tactics.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I can't wait to see that because, hey, this one little thing, has benefited me now for over 2 years and has taken a few situations where I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. No, I can do it. No, I got this. I got this. And that is priceless. It's
Yes.
like, all right. Cool. Well, thanks so much for getting on a call again, Logan. It's always awesome to hear what you're up to and get all this information from you about these herbs, because not a lot of people are really, talking about these in sane and rational ways. So I
Yeah.
like that.
Well, like you said, I'm into crazy stuff, but that's what got me where I am today. Taking these herbs for a long time, I felt they were my secret weapon, but the secret's out now. And then there's the mental stuff we just talked about briefly there. I want to combine all these different things in order to deliver the best sort of results that can be had.
That's awesome. That's what we all want.
Yep.